All right, let's go into what? Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right. So I'm going to zero in on tongues today. Okay. I would zero in on tongues today and ensure we see how we can, how far we can cover. But we will just try zeroing on tongues today as much as we can. So what we plan to do with this meeting today and probably subsequent ones is to see if this series this year would allow us to go back into time or into the scriptures like we did in the previous seasons we've had on concerning spirituals. I would say there are certain topics as a church we ensure that we teach one way or the other every year. It just might be called a different name. It just might be said as a different title, but really we are saying the same thing. Okay. What we call concerning spiritual last year, what we do with spiritual gifts is like an extension of that, which we started last year or two, actually 3-4 years ago. So if you would ensure that you put yourself in a place to still receive with meekness God's word, no matter what you've heard before, no matter what you know, just ensure that you pay attention to God's word, because we ought to give our heart attention and everything that we have to God's word. So and we're going to be talking on tongues, and let's see if we'll be able to go back to so in concerning spiritual series one of season one, I think that's what we called it, we're able to go back into the use of the origin of the word tongues or languages, right? So I don't know how far we'll go with that on this series, but one thing I want us to do is to ensure that we have a lot of practical conversations on this series like we did on Sunday. Okay, so as much as you can, as much as possible, just make sure you follow through and ensure that you participate as well when we have our practical sessions on Sunday. Well, and go all the way with me to Second. Why am I always going to say on Corinthians? You know where to go to, right? Go all the way to First Corinthians. We're trying to establish a few things in First Corinthians chapter 12. So go all the way with me to First Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. That's a very, very vital book that you should get yourself familiar with. First Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. That's one of the books that, one of the chapters that, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, you ought to pay attention to. So if you look at chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. One of the things we said is that the word gifts there is in italics. However, even if you put gifts there, the truth is that what is being discussed is gifts. Okay. Well, what is being discussed will be gifts, which you call administrations, operations of the Spirit of God, right? So, but you could call everything gifts of the Spirit, right? So if you look through verse 1 again, it says, now pertaining, that's what concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. So we said the word ignorant means to shun knowledge willfully, to willfully ignore or neglect. Okay, so I will not have you to be ignorant. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, we said the word spiritual is the word pneumaticos. Pneumaticos, P-N-E-U-M-A, then tikos, T-I-K-O-S, pneumaticos, all right? So I would not have you to be ignorant. That means don't shun knowledge. Don't shun knowledge, because knowledge is very important. Last week, Wednesday, we looked through the power of God that is resident in the believer, all because we have the Spirit of God on our inside, and we're able to see how powerful the believer is on account of the Spirit that is on the inside of a believer. So we said that the only believer who might claim not to, express who might claim not to have power is one who doesn't know that he or she has power, right? And as long as you are a believer, Bible says that God has demonstrated his exceeding greatness of his power towards us that believe. Okay, then Paul will now say, well, I, around that spirit, regarding that spirit, I will not, you know, you look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? You see from verse 9, but I have not seen nor ears heard, it has entered into the hearts of men, right? The things which God has planned for them that love him, right? But he has revealed by his spirit, right? So if you look through that narrative, you will now realize that what God has put in the believer is actually his spirit, right? We now paid attention to the wealth of God's grace or the wealth of God in the believer, which now makes or can make the believer refer to himself or herself as God's rich man. Okay, so we said that the gifts of the spirit are things of the spirit that are of the spirit that every believer has received. I'll say that one more time. The things of the spirit are regarding the gifts of the spirit that every believer, so they are things of the spirit, gifts of the spirit that is regarding the spirit or that is of the spirit that every believer, both male, female, has received by believing the gospel. So Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. That means you can actually, so a man can be full of the spirit or a man can be full of the Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Ghost is resident on his inside or her inside, right, and be ignorant. So Paul says, I would not, right, have you all to be ignorant. Are we together? Right. So if you go all the way to verse 11 or verse 4, sorry, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirits. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, that is the believer, to profit. Now, verse 8 now says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge. So on Sunday, we group the gifts of the Spirit as 9 into 3 categories. So usually, I can't remember if we spoke about it on Sunday, but usually we group them into 3 categories. We have the utterance gifts, and utterance, we would speak about things that are uttered, things that are said. Are we together? You see, one of the things we've taught over the years is the fact that Romans chapter 8, when it says, for the Spirit helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray, as we ought to, right? But Spirit helpeth our infirmity with groanings that cannot be uttered. We said that's not about tongues. Now together, right? But this utterance we're talking about are things that are said regarding things that are spoken. So for the utterance gifts, we have tongues, we have interpretation, we have prophecy. I'll say one more time. We have tongues, we have interpretation, we have prophecy. Now for the revelation gifts, we have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, right? So we're going to look through the revelation gifts, right? We're also going to look through the utterance gifts and also look through the power gifts, right? But one of the things I want us to emphasize on doing our practice for this session or this season, right, is going to be around the revelation gifts. Together, we're going to do it around the revelation gifts for season 1, season 2. We'll pay attention to the utterance gifts, right? But we're going to look through how we can practice the revelation gift. That will be the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Okay, yeah. Then we have what we call the power gifts, right? Power gifts will include the gift of healing, right? If we look through verse 9, the gift of healing, that of faith, right, and also the working of miracles. Right, but like I said, today let's look at tongues. Right, if you jump to chapter 14, so you are presently in chapter 12, right? Okay, so go to chapter 14. Look at verse 18, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. So Paul will say, I thank my God that I speak. Oh, let me read that accurately. So I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. See, that's some level of boasting, right? So what is Paul saying in this verse? What Paul is saying actually is that when you pick Paul at any point or time T, you can be rest assured that he's talking in tongues. Are we together? You know, it's unfortunate that in our world, you see some narratives where people say that the things of the Spirit, including tongues, ended with the apostles. right? Ended in the upper room, ended in the apostles, with the apostles, or, you know, no, there's no believer. I heard someone say a couple years ago that there's no believer that speaks accurate tongues, that tongues ceased with the apostles, and tongues was something that, you know, ended with the apostles. You know, but it's very ridiculous, to say the least, because if you look through Mark 16, which we'll go to eventually, you'll realize that Jesus had affirmed that it would be one of the signs that will follow those that believe. Are we together? Right? You see, and that's why I always tell you, ensure you guard your heart as much as you can. Ensure you guard your heart as much as you can, right? You see, I have friends, I have people who, for a couple years ago, you would meet them, see them, know them, or as people who spoke in tongues regularly, frequently, consistently. Are we together? But all of a sudden, in 2024, at the time when this message is being preached, and some of them do not associate with tongues, right? And they don't speak in tongues away again. Right? Because they said it has ceased with the apostles, right? It is not for today's believer, right? And these are people who, you know, would have experienced supernatural things or experiences in the Holy Ghost over the years. You see, that's where the deception of the devil comes in. What do you think Paul knew about tongues that Paul will say, I thank my God, I can speak with tongues more than you all? So look at it very well. Paul will come to the midst of people. Paul will come to the congregation of people. And when he gets to the congregation of people, Paul will say, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than ye all. I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than ye all. That means Paul was rest assured that for every time that you will catch him, yeah, when he wakes up with tongues. When he's about to sleep, he's sleeping with tongues. Are we together, right? When he's about to eat, he's speaking in tongues, you know? When he's, you know, he just keeps tongues under his breath. You see, let me tell you something. That's the life the believer needs to live. That's now, there is a time where you can say, I want to dedicate this time in the day to pray. I want to dedicate this hour in the day to pray. But much more than that is to be able to talk in tongues voraciously through the day. Are we together? You see, so tongues is something that accompanies the new spirit and that God has promised to put in the heart of man from Ezekiel 36, right? So if you remember 3 weeks ago, Ezekiel 36, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will give you a new heart, that is, give you a new spirit, that is my spirit I will put in you. Now, the moment you have that spirit, there's something called tongues. So Paul knew about it. Paul said, wow. So it means that one of the ways to ensure you function and put yourself on the edge, waiting to function with the gifts of the Spirit, is to start in tongues. Altogether, so you can give your heart, your mind, your mouth, your attention, you know, to speaking in tongues frequently, consistently, voraciously. Altogether, you see, you should have a conduct, a slant, such that, you see, you can be caught speaking in tongues under your breath at any time. Are we together? You see, you don't have to, you know, increase your voice, groan, make some loud noise and distract your neighbor in your office, for instance, or anything. Yeah, but you can have tongues under your breath in a meeting. You can have tongues under your breath when you're having a conversation with someone else, right? You can have tongues under your breath when you're having a conversation with someone else, right? A man called Smith Wigglesworth will say he was able to do as much as he did by the Spirit because he will wake up and sleep with tongues. Are we together, right? So you see, don't get yourself mixed up. You see, the thing about tongues, for me, I'm not trying to study to see if tongue is real or not, right? My study, my teaching, everything I'm doing is just to further emphasize what I believe about tongues. Are we together? So don't get yourself to the point when you study and miss, right? It is very silly for you to actually see clear-cut conversations in the Bible like this. So could Paul have been saying, I speak with tongues more than ye all, and that is only for him and his generation? What did Paul know about tongues that he would say, I speak in tongues more than ye all? Altogether. So you don't get yourself unnecessarily worked up, unnecessarily, you know, distracted by, you know, oh, these fathers of faith, these mothers of faith, even these uncles of faith say that tongues is for the apostles. Paul will say, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. So tongues is a fundamental. Are we together? So you see, by default, tongues will, you know, will more often than not precede other flows of the Spirit. Are we together, right? You see, one of the ways you can sharpen your sensitivity is to voraciously speak in tongues. Are we together? You see, tongues does not give you power, but tongues, what does it do for you? It creates an awareness, right? It sharpens your sensitivity, right? So you need to ensure that you keep that attitude of tongues as a lifestyle. Are we together? Not when challenges come, you now start doing speaking in tongues for hours, for days. Let challenges meet you with tongues. Right, let things that you know happen with life for life in life with life meet you with tongues, because tongues is fundamental for the believer. Look at Mark 16. You see, look at Mark 16, Mark 16, 14. Go all the way to Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Mark 16, 14. Okay, so Mark 16, if you look at verse 14, so afterwards he appeared unto 11 and as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So Jesus said unto them, so one of the things we've said over the years is that when he says Jesus said unto them, what you are reading in verse 15 to verse 18 were not, might not have exactly been, or might not have been the exact words Jesus used, but you can call this like a summative or a summary of what's happening, right? So Jesus, you see a summary of Jesus's 40 days teaching. And what do you read there? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now it says, he that believes. So you see, Jesus did not say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in this generation alone, or only those that are alive at this point or at this time. Anybody who is born. You see, it's very funny how we think. Very funny how we think. Let me just make you think a little. Right. So if tongues ended with the apostles, and men in the days of the apostles spoke in tongues, right, and not all the men. So is it that only the men that were alive at the time Jesus was crucified that would be able to speak in tongues, or tongues will be for? Because you realize that there will be different generations. See, all the apostles didn't die at a point, at a time. They didn't die on the same day, right? So you see Peter, for instance, in Acts 10, he will go and preach in the house of Cornelius, and the Bible says, while Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell. And we together, that means tongues, and you know, tongues was active in Acts 10. Do you understand? So it means that at the time when, you know, Jesus was buried, crucified and everything, the man Cornelius and his household, they were devout Jewish people. But we didn't see an example, or we don't see from scripture that they were given to things of tongues or things of the spirit of tongues, for instance. So if Peter will have a supernatural encounter and go and preach to them, and he will say, just like on the first day, on the day one, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell while Peter yet spoke. So you realize that Cornelius as well would have children, would have family that would give birth to children and probably communicate the same thing that Peter taught them. Are we together? And probably communicate the same thing Peter taught them for their children, to communicate to their children. So you see, eventually, you cannot say there is a point when tongues will stop or when tongues will pause. Mm-mm, it's not possible, right? Tongues will be for, look at it again, Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now look at verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. So casting out of devils is not for the senior apostles alone. They shall cast out devils in my name. Who will cast out devils? Those that believe. So what do you require to cast out devils? You need to believe in the work of Jesus. You need to believe the gospel that is preached. So every human, as long as, so this check that Jesus is writing here is a blank check to every human being that believes the gospel. So this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Right? They shall speak with new tongues. Jesus said it is something that will be spoken by them that believe. So how on earth did we get to a conclusion that states everybody believes, oh, but only those that believe when Jesus was alive would actually be the ones that tongues was meant for? You see, it doesn't make any sense. Are we together? Right? You see, in this life, you can actually speak with a lot of eloquence. You can actually speak with a lot of grammar. You see, there's a man called Apollos, right, who will be speak. Bible says he was so fluent and eloquent. right? Yes, Priscilla and Aquila will take him aside and expound God's word unto him. So eloquence, you know, eloquence and fluency does not determine accurate Bible teaching. Is it good to speak well? I've told you, I'm working on how I speak. I've been doing that for a couple of years, and I think I'm going to do it for a long time because it looks like nothing is changing, right? But the truth remains that that's not as important as what is being said, okay? Yeah, so you see a lot of believers in our world, right? They choose local churches based on the fluency of Apollos. Do you understand? So imagine the disciples that Apollos had. Yeah? Imagine the disciples that Apollos had. They would have read all the big grammars, all the paraphiston, let me not get so troublesome. Yeah? So all manners of big words, you know, the juxtapose and the nature of the dynamic jeopardy. Is it nonsense? Yeah? But eventually, so Paul will say in Colossians, right, do not be swayed by a high-sounding nonsense. Right? Colossians 2. Right? Don't get yourself worked up with high-sounding nonsense. So somebody can be so fluent, right? You see, somebody can actually come online or come in a local church and insult every other person that exists in this world, right? And in what they are trying to insult and correct, they are in the wrong. Just because they didn't read the next verse, just because they didn't read the Bible as a whole, just because they didn't read the letters of Paul as a whole, right? So when Jesus would say, go into the world and preach the gospel, right? See, for us to conclude that tongues will be for the word of Jesus, it means that Mark 16:15 is not for the believer today. Are we together? So there is no believer that needs to act on Mark 16:15. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, you don't have to act on it. Why? Because it's not for your word. It's not for you. So it means that Jesus only wanted the set of people that his apostles could reach to be saved. But it doesn't make any sense, right? So you cannot say that Jesus said, go into the world. I go into the world and preach the gospel. But tongues would have ended. I don't believe in tongues. Tongues is for it has paused. It has ceased. I would get, is it not clear that your thinking is ceasing? Is it not clear that it's just so ridiculous? Do you understand? Right? It's just so ridiculous. I don't know what happened. I was just thinking about a conversation from probably 2 years ago, right? Just as I was preaching now. And I'm like, how did we get to that point? Right? How did we get to that point? Right? So tongues is for every believer, right? So Paul will say, I speak in tongues more than ye all. That means the believer needs to have a practice of consistent, voracious, extensive talking in tongues. Right? Extensive talking in tongues. So Jesus will say, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Now, that word new tongues, you also see some categories of people saying that tongues ended with the apostle and every tongue people are speaking today is actually another language of another community. Now, that's another preposterous, ridiculous. You see, my English is increasing, improving. That's preposterously ridiculous. Are we together? That tongues is another, that when you speak in tongues, is a language of another people, another community that you might not have been to. Do you understand? And you'll be like, what does that really mean? What does that really mean? Now, where the confusion comes in is simple. Now, there are people who, they speak certain language, they speak, you know, they've never learned, or let me say differently. Imagine I've never been to the South Africa or the southern part of Africa, right? So I don't know how to speak Swahili, for instance, right? There has been encounters that people have had where they communicate with people, and what they're communicating with is in the language people understand, but they have never learned the language before. You see, what's that? That's a working of miracle. That's a miracle. Altogether. That's a miracle. Altogether. That's not tongues. That's a miracle. That another person in another language can hear it. It has ceased to be tongues. It is now what? A working of miracle in expression. I was coming home from church on Sunday, and we heard a podcast, not like a podcast, one of the radio stations, you know, and one of testimonies to a group of people who were, I think, Wimbledon or something like that. They end up preaching to people and communicating God's love to people on the streets and everything. And one of the testimonies that they shared on that call, on that meeting, was that one of their disciples had ministered to someone about God's love, but the person couldn't speak English. And the person communicated the person was Russian. I communicated in Russian language to the person. You see, that happens. That's the working of miracles. I was speaking with someone 2 days ago, maybe yesterday or 2 days ago, right? You know, someone who, you know, I discipled from afar, yeah? And one of the things that I saw was that in our minds, we seem to be logical with the miraculous expressions that can be seen on earth. What do I mean? Right, you know, as she was just telling me about an example of, you know, some talks online which I never heard about. Some talks online about how, you know, someone said, you know, an animal or a lion took them from a point to another point, and you know, they were supposed to rob him, and the lion just took him from a point to another point, you know. And some people said they shot a gun and it touched them and everything. You know, how is that? It's not possible. You see, you don't need to be looking for how to explain the miraculous. That is why it is a miracle. I want to get that. Do not use extremes to build a conviction. Don't say because people go, and that's why you see a lot of times the illiterates, so to say, are the ones that experience the miraculous sort of more. I want to get that. Yeah, the illiterates, those who have not learned the education and language of man generally to work themselves out of believing God, you see them experience these things more. So she later found out or said, oh, maybe because the person that was sharing the testimony was not fluent. That's why it looked like it wasn't adding up. You see, that's what you ought. The devil is playing a long game with this generation. The devil is playing a long game with this generation. And I said, may it not be when you need a miracle that you will now eventually start looking for the miracles that people have done or people have experienced to encourage your heart. Do you understand? Yeah, you can believe that Jonah was taken by a fish, right? In the belly of a fish, he was taken to another land and came back to life and he went to preach. But you can't believe that someone can have a supernatural encounter, right? You can't believe that. You see, you can keep looking through the scriptures and you see lots of experiences. I would get that. Your attention should just be on the fact that how do you explain multitude of people walking through a sea? How do you explain it? How do you explain the supernatural experiences the children of Israel had in the wilderness? How? Are we together? You see, how do you explain Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 2 loaves of bread and 5 fishes? How do you explain it? The moment you start explaining it, you know, like I was saying on Sunday, right? Imagine me trying to explain how an accident happened with a car in front of us, a car beside us, a car behind us. Right, and we in the middle, nothing touched our car. I didn't say nothing damaged, nothing scratched our car. What do you say about people, for instance, who we can go on and on and on and on? So when somebody says, oh, they were on the evangelistic field, right? And they didn't know. In fact, I've heard of a testimony of someone who went to one of those Middle Eastern countries where there was a lot of persecution. And when they got there, they were at the point of almost being chased to be killed and all of that, right? And he spoke in their language that he has never learned before. That's supernatural. That's miraculous. Are we together, right? So when somebody speaks in tongues and we say somebody else can hear, it is no longer tongues. All together, right? So I'm trying to say to you that you might have those experiences. Open your heart to have those experiences. All together, right? You see, that's how the intentional God can go to reach a man. Yeah, open your heart to have those experiences. That you can go to a country, go to a nation, right? And you will not know their language from time, right? And you will just want to communicate what God wants to say to that person in a language, and the person will understand their language, right? But the moment somebody else can hear what you are saying, it has ceased to be tongues. Yeah, so what did Paul Jesus say? In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Now, that word they knew is the word kainos in the Greek. The word they knew is the word kainos. That's the word kainos in the Greek. So kainos in the Greek is the word they knew in Mark 16, verse 17. And that word means, or is a word that points the attention of one to the subject of discussion. I'll say it one more time. When that word is used, it points the attention of one to the subject of discussion. Right? The word can also mean something that is uncommon. Yeah, it points your attention to something that's uncommon. Yep. Yeah, you can see that used in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians 6, verse 15, Ephesians 2:15, Ephesians 4:24. I'll give that again. Right? That word kindness new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. That means a species that has never existed. It is not something that people were used to. It is uncommon, right? Yeah, that's what they knew, the new creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You see the same word in Galatians 6:15. You see the same word in Ephesians 2:15 and Ephesians 4:24. Yeah, so a new man, a new species, right? A new, a concept that is new and unique to a part or a kind of people. Are we together? Yeah. So go back, go to Acts 2. Go to Acts 2. Don't forget, go ye preach the gospel, right? And this sign shall follow. They shall speak with new tongues. Emphasis on tongues today, right? Go to Acts 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I hope you're here. Acts 2, 1. Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, right? And they were all filled, or and there appeared upon them rather cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, Acts 2, 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. So how many people spoke with other tongues in Acts 2? Yeah, it's easy to know. Go back to Acts 1. Go to Acts 1, 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord. So he had mentioned in verse 13, when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, Job, James of Alphaeus, son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelot, Judas, the brother of James, right? These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Now look at verse 15. It says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said, then, and now this information, Luke gives you this information. It says, the number of the names together were about 120. And it says, when I'm praying, this scripture must have to be fulfilled. So if you read through Acts 1, 14, 15, all the way to verse 20, 23, 24, 26, and it now says the day of Pentecost was fully come. Yeah, you should be able to see that by default, 120 people would have been there on the day of Pentecost waiting for what Jesus has said. Remember, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, right? So an average of 120 people. That well, hopefully none of them went to use the, greet their family, or you know, left the meeting, or you know, missed the meeting for whatever reason, you know. But we can say an average of 120 people spoke in tongues. So when you look at Acts 2:4, they were all. That means everybody present. Everybody present, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, in our Christian, in the Pentecostal circle, there's a doctrine that teaches about being full of the Holy Ghost and filled with the Holy Ghost. And some teach it as the Spirit upon and Spirit within, right? So Spirit within is what you receive when you believe the gospel, and Spirit of God comes into your heart. Then Spirit upon is something you wait. So you wait for the Spirit to come upon you so you can speak in tongues, just like Jesus, you know, with the dove descending upon, the Spirit descending upon his head like a dove, and it began to, and things started happening, right? As happening rather. Yeah, so people say that they cannot speak in tongues, or they don't want to speak in tongues because they don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. We said we're going to look at that subsequently. Right, so and they are waiting for the Holy Ghost to push them. See, this narrative shows you that they are the ones that began to speak. When it comes to tongues, who needs to begin? The believer needs to begin. The believer needs to begin to speak in tongues. The believer does not need to be explained. You know, that's why I always tell you, believers meeting, when you are to minister in believers meeting, don't use your energy to explain altogether. Don't use your mouth to say nothing is coming to me. You are now using your words to program your mind by saying that. Do you understand? Right? You don't come to a gathering of saints, or you don't want to minister and say, oh, I'm not getting anything. No. Oh, I'm not sensing. No. That's not the reality of a believer. Are we together? That's not the reality of the believer, right? That's why you now realize a lot of times, you know, like I was explaining on Sunday, you have people who have what you call deja vu experiences. And I knew that name, and I knew that information, but I was just shy. No, you see, you don't have to be shy. You shouldn't be shy. Why shall thou shy? right? The Bible says, and they began to speak. You see, just begin to speak. Same thing with tongues. You see, tongues is something you begin to. Yeah, you see, there's a tendency that what's happening in Acts chapter 2 did not happen all at once. Probably some people who would have been more sensitive, more alert, would have picked the signal of the Spirit and would have started speaking in the Holy Ghost. Then what would happen? The influence of that will rub off on others. Altogether, yeah, that's why association is so important when talking about flowing with the gifts of the Spirit. Right, so you see that they began to speak with other tongues. What is the functionality of the Spirit there? As the Spirit gave them utterance. So was it the Spirit speaking? No, the Spirit wasn't the one speaking. The Spirit gave them the utterance. That means they have the ability to speak. Who needs to begin to speak? It is you. Did you see what I just said? Right? Who needs to begin to speak? It is you, the believer. Who needs to start speaking? It is you, the believer. Are we together? It is you, the man that is full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? So what happened in Acts 2? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What it means says they began to speak with other tongues. That means the language that proceeded from their mouth was a language none of them had ever heard in their lives. Did you hear what I just said? Right? Yeah? That's why it tells you the word other tongues. The word there, other, is the word etheros. Right? Etheros. So in the Greek, Latin manuscript and all of that, you have the allos, you have the etheros, yeah? And allos, you know, is like what used in allos paracletos in John 16, right? John 14, John 16, right? So, but that one speaks about that which is the same, right? Similar to homo. Yeah, but when it comes to etheros, that's the word used in Acts 2:4, actually speaks of something that is different. That means a different type of nature or a different type of language or a language that is not of the same nature they are used to. So it is one that is different. So when it says they began to speak with other tongues, it means they all began to speak a language that was different from their mother tongue. Let me tell you where the confusion people have when they say that when tongues are spoken is somebody else's language. It's simply by misreading verse 7. So let's have a quick read. Let me touch it today so that I don't come back to it again. So the reason why people, so when you see people say that, oh, when people speak in tongues, it is another language of other people that they are hearing it. Yeah, it's just because they've not read the Bible, they've not opened their eyes more to see what the Bible is saying. Now let's read in context properly. Now, Bible says that Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem and you be endued with power from on high. Beautiful, right? Now, so what does Paul say, or what does Luke say happens in Acts 2? Luke says, the Spirit of God, they were filled with the Spirit of God, rather, and they began to speak with other tongues. But there's something else that Luke did not show us. How do we know? There is something else that Luke did not show us. How do we know? Yeah, let me explain that to you, looking using Acts 10 and using 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, so look at 1 Corinthians 14 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if you look at chapter 14, you see, Paul is a very dynamic writer, very brilliant, beautiful writer. He does something beautiful when he establishes the concept of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and now writes an entire chapter on chapter 13 called with theme around love. Then he now goes to chapter 14. What you call chapter 14? Remember, Paul did not write it in chapters. But what you now call chapter 14 now says, follow after charity, that's the word love, and desire spiritual. That means the believer needs to desire it. Okay? So desire spirituals, but rather that he may prophesy spiritual gift. Look at now what it says in verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, if you have a good Bible, the word unknown is not in that chapter or in that verse. That word unknown is in italics. If you have a good Bible, that means if you go back to the Greek manuscript, there is no Greek word for that unknown in that verse. You get the point? Yeah. So what can you replace unknown with what you've looked at today? You can replace it with new tongues from Mark 16 or other tongues in Acts 2. Yeah. So for he that speaketh in other tongues, did you get that? He that speaketh in new tongues, did you get that? Yeah, so unknown is it should be missing there. So he that speaketh in tongues, and you can see that he that speaketh in tongues, right, speaketh not unto men. Do you understand? So if you speak in tongues and men can understand, it has ceased to be tongues. You think what I just said?
Did you understand? So if the if Luke says that in Acts 2, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, they were speaking in tongues, and the people that were around the church meeting heard what they were saying, the interpretation of what they were saying in tongues, it means that it's either the people were not hearing well, or they were hearing something different, or the people that claimed they were speaking in tongues, they never spoke in tongues. Because Paul tells you, well, when it comes to the matter of tongues, yeah, when you speak in tongues, you don't speak to men. Look how it says, for he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, right, but unto God. Look at what he says, for no man understandeth, right? So no man understands tongues. If you speak in tongues, another man understands it in his language, it is no longer tongues. Did you get that? Right? Yeah. So for no man understands tongues, I'm taking you back to tongues 101. I'm taking you back to how to teach tongues from the Bible. Are you with me? I'm trying to break it down to the smallest bits, right? That you should be able to explain tongues. So tongues, remember, as spiritual realities can be explained, whilst there's the practice of it, right? So tongues now say, so Paul now says, well, if you speak in tongues, it's not unto men, no. So if in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues, and we are saying other people were hearing what they were saying, it is that they were not speaking in tongues, one, or they were speaking in tongues and people that were hearing something were not hearing well, or our interpretation of what was recorded is wrong. Yeah, because 1 Corinthians 14 cannot be correct and Acts chapter 2 be correct. No. Yeah, so it says, but unto God, for no man understands it. However, howbeit, in the spirit, the man or the woman speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. So what part of the spiritual gift, when it comes to utterance gift, will people be able to understand? I mean men. It will be the part of prophecy, which you can call interpretation of tongues. Are we together? So tongues cannot make sense to the mind of a man. It cannot, because you are not speaking tongues to man. You are speaking tongues to God, right? So for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies, he speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So you don't edify another with tongues. The Bible doesn't teach you edify other people with tongues. When you want to edify, that means when somebody else is listening to you, right, you don't speak in tongues and say bye-bye, good night. No. You bring edification, exhortation, comfort by actually giving yourself to interpreting the tongues for the person to be edified, exhorted, or comforted. Right? So see what I just said is in verse 4. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in tongues. So how do you replace unknown? What do you replace unknown with? You replace unknown with new or other, right? So he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. So when you speak in tongues, so somebody reaches out to you and says, please pray for me, and you speak in tongues, right? And you end it at tongues. Who is edified from that tongues? It is you. Yeah, he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. That's why Jude 1:20 will say, build up. So to edify means to build up. Okay, so Jude 1:20 will say, build up yourself in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in tongues. Okay, yeah, Jude 1:20, that's what I just quoted. Right, so he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the other, or edifies the church. That is why, you see, I never come to church and talk in tongues when everybody's quiet for me, that when we went out to minister, and after that, I just move on. No, I had to bring interpretation to the tongues so that you will be edified. Are we together? Yeah? So look at verse 11, verse 5, rather. It says, I would that ye all speak with tongues. This is the people that Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. He says, I would that ye all speak in tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. No, so what he's saying is that, yeah, you, when you speak in tongues, let your conclusion be with a goal to prophesy. Why? What do you know? For look how it says. It says, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interprets that the church. Look at that. Look at it. In Paul's private life, what was he doing majorly? He wasn't doing more interpretation than speaking in tongues. He would do more tongues.
Are we together? When Paul comes to the church, what will Paul give himself to more? He will give himself more to prophecy, more to interpretation. Are we together? Right? So he accepts and interprets that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, doctrine, and even things without life-giving sound, you know, and it goes on. I'm not going to touch this for now. Yeah? What is the point? Paul said, when man speaks in tongues, the audience of the tongues, the one that receives or the one that can hear, you must take out another man. So if I speak in tongues, no other man in this world can hear my tongues in his language. Notice, I did not say no other man can interpret my tongues. That's not what I said. Maybe one of these Sundays we'll try it again. We'll do it in church, right? You can speak in tongues. I interpret it. I can speak in tongues. You interpret it. The goal is that the moment there's a gathering and one person needs to be edified, there needs to be an interpretation. Are you getting the point, right? So Paul said, and for he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, right? Yeah. How be it, for no man understands what he's saying. You see, that questions the doctrine of people who say tongues is a language of somebody you don't know. Like, how did you? You know, some people can just be funny. You just read one verse, go and sleep, become just, I don't know, maybe it's depression that leads people to this kind of thinking. Because I just wonder, how do you collectively read the Bible? You just pick one verse, just run with it. But anyways, we need to just be patient with people, really. But, you know, it's always very painful when you actually see people who would have, you know, stood for these things over the years, and all of a sudden, you know, they get themselves worked up with unnecessary. Yeah, and that's why the social media space is a very, it can be used to propagate God's word. It can be used to change a man that was very devoted to become more devoted altogether. So you need to be extra careful. Yeah. So Paul says, when you speak in tongues, no man hears. So it means that when you go back, so go to Acts 10. You know, I said I was going to explain Acts 2, verse 4, verse 4 all the way, using 1 Corinthians 14. And what did I say? Acts 10. Go to Acts 10. Go to Acts 10. Acts 10. Acts 10. Acts 10. Acts 10. Look at Acts 10, verse 34. Acts 10, 34. Look at Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, so what are you about to see? Peter was preaching. So Peter was invited to the house of Cornelius and he began to preach. So he opened his mouth and said, of a truth. So he continued from there. I don't want to point attention to there. He started preaching about the resurrection of Jesus in 38, 39 downwards, right? Now go to verse 44. What was Peter doing as at verse 43? Peter was speaking. What was he speaking? He was teaching sound doctrine. He was teaching the word of truth. Now, what did Luke say in verse 44 of Acts 10? While Peter yet spake these words, that means while Peter was in the middle of his teaching, the Holy Ghost fell. You see, when the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell, don't think that somebody set trap for the Holy Ghost and he hit his leg and fell. No. Or the Holy Ghost, you know, somebody put banana peel on the road and the Holy Ghost slid. The Holy Ghost fell is a figurative expression to speak about an activity that was witnessed by the others. I was together. So how do you know the Holy Ghost fell? You will see some activities by me. Listen. How do you know that the dove, so the dove descending upon the head, listen, no, there was no dove, yeah, but I'm trying to say the dove we said was descending on the head, right? Remember, so John the Baptist will say, I will saw, behold the Holy Ghost, or behold the Holy Spirit descending like a dove on the head of Jesus, or descending like a dove on Jesus, right? So what is another way of saying the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus like a dove? It is the Holy Ghost fell. Are we together? So you can read what is happening in Acts 10:44 as the Holy Ghost fell, or the Holy Ghost as a dove descended on people. So how do you know that the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus, right? You know by the utterances that Jesus spoke by the Spirit. So Jesus will do a supernatural activity, or he will do something in the physical, but that has a supernatural background. He will do something in the physical that has a supernatural background, or a background in the realms of the spirit. Okay, then we'll say the Holy Ghost fell.
So the Bible says, while Peter yet spoke this word, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also. So on the Gentiles also is the interpretation of the vision that Peter had. Peter rise, kill, and eat. Yeah, so if you read Acts chapter 10 all the way from verse 1, right? Peter had a vision where, you know, angels brought, you know, four-footed beasts and all diverse kinds of animals and told Peter to rise, kill, and eat. Peter said, well, I'm a properly trained boy. You, where they give birth to us, we don't eat dirty animals. And the instruction will say, thou must not call unclean what God has called clean, right? And you see that the interpretation of that revelation is the fact that it had nothing to do with animals, but actually had everything to do with the Gentiles, right? So what now happens? He says, and as Peter yet spoke, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, in verse 45, as many as came with Peter, because, that means those who were already saved that came alongside with Peter, they were astonished. What was making them astonished? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Stop. What does it mean for the gift of the Holy Ghost to be poured out? Another way to say it is that let me ask the question differently. What other way can you say the gifts of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles? You can say the Holy Ghost fell, or you can say the Holy Ghost descended like a dove on the heads of the Gentiles, or you can say the Holy Ghost, or you can say they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Where did we get filled with the Holy Ghost from? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Their Pentecost was fully come. Bible says they were all gathered together in one accord, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to. So how will another person know those that, or how will Mr. A know that Mr. B is filled with the Holy Ghost? Mr. A will know that Mr. B is filled with the Holy Ghost when Mr. B does something physically. Yeah, physically. So something will be done physically. Then when Mr. A sees him, he says, oh wow, that's a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So what was done physically, fundamentally, in Acts 2? They began to speak with other tongues. So how else can you say they began to speak with other tongues? They were filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost fell on them, or how again? He says the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out. Okay, so he says, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 46. For they heard. So what did they hear when the activity of falling was up? So Holy Ghost was falling. What did they hear? What did they see? Look at verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues. Listen carefully. They heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered, can a man forbid water that these should not baptize which have received the Holy Ghost as he? And he commanded them to baptize in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. If your mind goes straight to baptism, yeah, you need to go back to our teaching series we've done on that. But summary of this is, the apostles in the early church, the Acts of the Apostles will show us that the disciples grew. So it means at a point in their ministry, they gave themselves to what? The practice of water baptism, for instance. Yeah, but they grew over time, right? And that's why you see Paul will come in 1 Corinthians and says, well, I baptized the house of Stephanus, but I thank my God that I didn't baptize any other house because Jesus did not send me to baptize with water. Yeah, that's a story for another day. But what happened in Acts 10? An activity was done. What do we see? They spoke in tongues and magnified God. They spoke in tongues. That means there's every likelihood that in Acts chapter 10, verse 46, there was tongues and there was interpretation. Yeah? So the conclusion of their tongues sort of ends with a magnifying God. So for them to know that it is God they are magnifying, it means it has been done in a language that they all understood. Are you with me? However, we don't see it said out straight as what? Think about this way. If Paul says anybody that speaks in tongues is not speaking unto men, that means you as a man, you cannot know the conclusion of a man's tongues until you hear the interpretation. So if Luke will tell you that they magnified God, that means they had a language. So imagine you come to God's palace, for instance, I would say, we give God all the praise for all that he has done, for all that he is. He's a faithful God. What is that? We are magnifying God. You can only know it is magnifying God to a very large extent because it is actually interpreted. Let me put for you in context. So somebody might say they're singing in tongues, and you can magnify God in tongues. Let me say something, right? Yeah, let me not get troublesome. That's going to push us away, okay? Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, you know, you can sing in tongues, and your singing in tongues is a charge to give yourself more to devotion. Does that help you? Hopefully it helped you. If you were somebody who went to where I was thinking I didn't want to go to, are we together? So for them to hear magnifying God, it means that there was interpretation involved. Yeah. So go back to Acts 1, Acts 2. Don't forget, Paul has taught us. He says, when man speaks in tongues, no man does not understand. Another man cannot understand him. So if we now go back to Acts 2, so let's use that knowledge and read Acts 2. You see, the Bible needs to be read holistically. Look at Acts 2. Now, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you say? The Holy Ghost fell. So the Holy Ghost fell in Acts 2, and the Holy Ghost fell in Acts 10. What do we mean by the Holy Ghost fell? We mean that the believers were filled with the Holy Ghost. What does it mean for the believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost? It means there was an activity by, from the Spirit that was seen with the physical eyes of others. Okay, so and they began with and the fruit of the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak with a tongue that is unique to their spirits. They began to speak with an uncommon language that no other person could hear. So let me help you use that to read Acts 2 now. Right? It says, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under the earth. Right? Don't forget what is happening. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, day of Pentecost. What is Day of Pentecost? Day of Pentecost is the feast that celebrates Pentecost, where people from the people who are originally from the nation Israel or Israelites, no matter where they've relocated to, they've, you know, the world is apart, yeah? Wherever they've gone to or relocated to, they come back for that feast. Okay, so the Bible now says that, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That means even so, Jewish people will go to other cities to do business and to have their lives and to build their family. Even at that, other people from different cities as well will come to Israel to come and build their house, build their family, and all of those things. All together, right? Now, when this was noised abroad, look, listen to what I'm about to show you. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Listen. So the multitude, that means when the Spirit of God is moving and an activity of the Spirit is being done, there are two categories of people. There are those that will begin to speak, and there are those that will be confounded altogether. So look at this. Now, when this was noised, that means the testimony of what was happening, a supernatural encounter or event, or meeting, sorry, right, was noised abroad. It says the multitude came together and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, what we get from here is what makes people conclude that tongues is a language of another community that you've not been to. Are we together? Right? But the point that Paul made in 1 Corinthians 14 is that as long as it is tongues, no man can understand. So look at verse 7. And Bible says, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Listen carefully. Are not all these which speak Galileans? Right? So you think in their culture, in their world, the language of the Galileans and is like what you call pidgin language or broken English in our world today. All together. Right? So you say, are not Galileans? Now look at verse 8. Bible said, and how come we hear? How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Listen carefully. How come we are hearing this man, right? Yeah. How hear we every man in our tongues, wherein we were born? Now, one thing you must understand is that the people who were partaking in this supernatural experience, they were people who were in Acts chapter 1, 40 days teaching of Jesus. You see, we don't have a record that when Jesus taught, he had an interpreter that was interpreting, or had several interpreters that was interpreting what he was saying to different community. So how many people did we establish were in Acts chapter 1, into Acts chapter 2? We said average 120. Yeah. So imagine we had 120 and 120 people were made up of people who only spoke different languages. Let's say we had 15 different languages among 120 people. It means that Jesus will say, as Moses said in Genesis, somebody will say it in Yoruba, somebody will say it in Igbo, somebody will say it in French, somebody will say it in Italian, somebody will say it in Spanish. Then after 15 interpreters now say it, they should now come back to Jesus. Just like the way he said in Exodus, another person will say it in French, in Italy, you see, it doesn't make sense. For them to have been together for 40 days, it means that Jesus was teaching and speaking with a language that was common to all of them. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right? So what it is, and how hear we every man in our tongues wherein we were born. Look at where the confusion comes in. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt and the part of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians. See, how many nations or how many communities can you see here? You can see number 9, verse 9, Parthians 1, Medes 2, Elamites. So that's one, count it to your Bible, yeah? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, so I think that even fits the example I was giving. So an average of 14. Excuse me. So an average of 14 communities. So if the case, now listen carefully. Look at verse 14. I'm going to come back to that verse now. Not on that day today. Look at verse 14. But Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice. The Bible does not record that Peter stood up with interpreters. So Peter did not say, all of you that are from Parthians, bring one rep to interpret for you. All of you that are from Elamites, bring one rep. All of you from Cappadocia, bring one rep. All of you from Asia, bring one rep. All of you from Pamphylia, bring one rep. All of you from Rome, bring one rep. All of you from... No, that's not what's happening. So when Bible says verse 14, Peter standing up with 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea. That means he spoke one language. That means the language Peter spoke, his audience, everybody understood him. No interpreter. He says, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem. Are we together? Right? You see? So think about the UK. The UK is a you know, think about, let's use Scotland, for instance. Let's use England. So England will be a nation, right, where the fundamental language is English. So people from England, let me use Scotland, Edinburgh, yeah? There's a feast called Edinburgh Festival, which is, I heard, is the biggest festival in the world, okay? So Edinburgh Fringe Festival happens every August, every year, for about 30 days. Within that period, ideally, people from different parts of the world, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Cappadocia, they come to Edinburgh. Now, if a man wants to speak to everybody, there will be a common language that everybody there should be able to speak, which more often than not is English altogether. Yeah? So there will be those that are from Edinburgh and those from outside Edinburgh, right, like myself, for instance, who can be in that meeting but understands English. So if Peter stood up with 11 and lifted his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, right, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken. So it means that Peter spoke in a language everybody heard. That by default nullifies the ideology that different languages were spoken in Acts chapter 2. So let's go back again to interpret it. Okay, so go back to verse 9. Parthians, Medes, and all of that. Go back to verse 11, Cretans and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Hold on. So what were they hearing? Acts chapter 10 takes us to a conclusion that they saw from their tongues the magnified God. And we said the only way you can know the magnified God is from their interpretation of the tongues. Are we here? So if they can get to a conclusion in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, that they heard them speak the wonderful works of God, it means that the only way to get to that conclusion was that there was interpretation of tongues in Acts 2. So when they were hearing the language in which they were born, when they were hearing about the wonderful works of God, they were hearing a language they all understood. Are we together? Right? So we do hear them, verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongues. So tongues, so the tongue, so we do hear them speak in our tongue, is different from the other tongues in verse 4. So there was other tongues in verse 4, and there is our tongues in verse 11. Our tongues means our mother tongue, the tongue and language in which we were born. Other tongues means the tongue and language in which the new spirit of a believer is recreated, or the spirit of a believer is reborn or regenerated or born again. So there is our tongues in verse 12 and verse 11, and there is other tongues. Other tongues and our tongues are not the same. So when they were hearing different languages, then they were not hearing different languages. When they were hearing about the wonderful works of God, it means that in the meeting that was happening from Acts chapter 2, when the believers were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was something called interpretation of tongues. How do we know? Paul gives an audacious doctrinal statement, and he says, when a man speaks in tongues, that's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, 3, 4. He says, when a man speaks in tongues, no man understands him. So if these guys were saying that, oh, we understand what they are saying, and what they are saying is about the wonderful works of God, it means that they were not speaking in tongues. Or it means that Paul is wrong. Altogether. Look at verse 12. And they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? So there are different categories of people in a meeting like that. There are those that will begin to speak, then there will be those that will now interpret. There will be those that will hear the interpretation. There will be those that will be asking, what does this mean? So when you come to local church, like God's Palace, where we place emphasis on God's word and the Spirit having a free flow, yeah, you don't come to me and say, what is this one saying? The moment you begin to have that slant, you are like those who were mocking. So it says, verse 13, it says, others were mocking, saying these men are full of new wine. So that means they saw a supernatural encounter. Listen to what I'm about to say. Listen to what I'm about to say. Listen to what I'm about to say. If they saw the activities of the believers as something they could attribute or allude to the functionality or of the intoxication, I'm trying to speak big grammar. Yeah, the functionality of the intoxication. Well, let me say differently. Yeah, if the conclusion these onlookers or these passerbys got to was that these guys are drunk, that means they likened what they saw with a typical physical man that drank alcohol and he's tipsy. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. If that conclusion was what they got to, how will it now make sense that, or how will their conclusion be that they were tipsy or they were drunk if all that was happening in that meeting were believers speaking languages of other people? You get what I just said? Yeah? When an unbeliever comes to God's palace and comes into our meeting and sits down and I speak and I'm teaching in English and the unbeliever understands English, yeah? There is nothing about that that the unbeliever can see and say that I am acting drunk because I'm literally just speaking in a language that he or she can understand. So that is to tell you that you cannot take tongues as an activity of Acts 2. And also you cannot take interpretation as an activity of Acts 2. Because if they go to the conclusion, we can tell you that they only go to the conclusion because there was interpretation of tongues. And if we say they know the conclusion and they attributed the conclusion to be men that were drunk, it means that something supernatural was happening in the midst of the saints. I hope that helps somebody today. Yeah? So what will Peter do? Peter, standing up with 11, will lift up his voice and say, ye men of Judea. That means he used one language. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose. That means the expression of the believers in that meeting, yes, seemed to portray the slant of a tipsy man. That is why when we come to church, we act tipsy, not because we are tipsy, but because we have what? We have drunk of the wine of the Spirit. All together. Yeah, so there's something called the wine of the Spirit. Are we together, right? The wine of the Spirit is that which a believer can take to get intoxicated. Yeah, so it now says, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Yeah, so day of Pentecost fully come was like 6 a.m. Yeah, in their Jewish culture, when the day starts fully, it will be like 6 a.m. If Peter is now teaching at the third hour of the day, that means there were expressions of the Spirit for 3 hours. Yeah, because Peter says, well, these are not drunken men, as you see. You all know that in our culture, people don't get drunk in the morning. You see, it's the third hour of the day. How can you say they are drunk? That's what Peter was saying there, right? It's the third hour of the day. So what did Peter now say? But this is that which was spoken by the prophets. What did Peter say that the prophet Joel said? He said, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Was that similar to what happened to the Gentiles? When the people that went to Peter said that, and the Holy Ghost was poured out. All together, right? So I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So what did Luke tell us in Acts 2:4? He only says tongues. But you see how we derive the conclusion that he had to have interpretation. So how did Paul teach tongues and interpretation in 1 Corinthians 14? He says prophecy. Altogether. So what did Peter teach in Acts 2 verse 17? Joel said that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So it means that what was happening eventually in Acts 2 was prophesying. On the background of that was other tongues. I hope you are with me. I hope you are following what I'm saying to you today. Altogether. So the believer is one who has received the Spirit of God and has a new tongue. Paul says, I would not want you to be ignorant on this matter. Altogether. Paul says, I will not want you to be ignorant on this matter. So the response of the audience was about their tongues, their mother tongue, their human language. But much more than their mother tongue was another tongue that was present, which was supernatural in Acts 2:4. Altogether. So they were speaking of the wonderful works of God. Acts 10 says they magnified God. You can only know the conclusion of the tongues that are spoken and you are affirmative about it by hearing the interpretation. Because Paul says, no man speaks in tongues and another man hears it. So have I proven to you from the Bible that tongues is not a language of another community you've not been to? The moment you speak a language of a community you've not been to, it has ceased to be tongues because another man can understand it. So what did I say earlier about that? That's a working of miracle. Altogether. So one of the things you see is that tongues cannot be for the early church alone. We keep seeing tongues all across the book of Acts. We keep seeing tongues taught by Paul in 1 Corinthians. Are we together? But one thing you must understand is that can you see how I had to go all the way to 1 Corinthians 14 to explain the doctrine behind the experience of Acts 2? That's what the believer needs to do. Yeah? Where a lot of things, you know, would come out clearer in the epistles, but does not mean that we don't need the materials and the content of the other books. Right? Thank God for Paul, who we address tongues, interpretation, and prophecy in Acts 14. Yeah? It might be difficult for us to hold our stand in our world to deal with people and how audacious they can be where they want to be, right? Regarding the fact that tongues is for the believer today, right? So we can title this series, Tongues Beyond the Day of Pentecost. We can say that, right? Because tongues was not just for the day of Pentecost. We saw it. So look at it this way. As that when Jesus died, Paul was not a believer. Yeah? Do you understand? So when Jesus says, go into the world, this time shall follow them that believe, they shall preach the God, they shall cast out demons rather, and they shall speak with new tongues. Paul was not in that meeting, was not in that narrative. But Paul, just like you and I, are we together? Paul, just like you and I, will understand that Acts 2 was an experience for believers. And if those believers can have those experiences, I can have those experiences. Are we together? So Paul did not meet Jesus such that we can physically, such that Jesus will now say, you see, there's a secret I want you to have in your ministry. The secret is talking in tongues. Hey, that means Paul knew something that made Paul talk in tongues frequently. And he will come to the local church and say, you see, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than ye all. So go back to Acts 2:4. Let me begin to wrap up for this evening. Yeah, I hope I've been able to unsettle some unsettled discussions in our minds. So look at Acts 2:4. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. If we were to write that verse now with our understanding, we can add this. And we heard them speak the wonderful works of God. In verse 4. All together.
altogether, because there was tongues and interpretation. How do you know there was interpretation? You cannot get to the conclusion of what they spoke without tongues being interpreted altogether. So Acts will describe activities, describe experiences, right? But not necessarily pay attention to the explanations, the doctrine behind it. Altogether. So the book of Acts is something that will show us the things that can happen in the local church. Yes, it shows us their growth, how they grew, how they changed, how they received correction, how they corrected themselves, how they stood in unity, stood in faith, how they gave their all, right? So you must understand that, you know, you see, when Paul teaches about tongues, interpretation, prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, Joel would have taught before then, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Are we together? That means there was tongues. That means there was interpretation. Look at Acts 19. Let me show you one again in Acts 19 before we venture into this on Sunday. So, you see, on Sunday, we're going to have a practical session as well as we did on Sunday, last Sunday, right? So what do you do when you're coming? You see, let me tell you as a church. One of the things, Sunday morning is not a time to be looking at Instagram or Facebook when you are coming to church. When you are going to church, you can dedicate your last 30 minutes or 1 hour before church to praying in tongues. You can. Yeah, you can dedicate your last 3 hours, your last 2 hours, your last 1 hour, your last 30 minutes to speaking in tongues. Yeah, you don't get on the train. If you be coming to church, you're on the train and you are just chatting and laughing about economic meltdown. Oh, you are watching skits. No, you can put your heart, condition your heart with your tongues. You can do that. Yeah, you can come to church early, and when you're waiting for service to start, you already start with tongues under your breath. It's a culture we can have as a local church. Yeah, when you have tongues under your breath, when you have tongues under your breath, when you are speaking in tongues ahead of a meeting, when you are speaking in tongues ahead of a meeting, when you are speaking in tongues ahead of a gathering, altogether, you know, and you can, you see, tongues, right? It will start for the believer, but the believer might end up somewhere else. Altogether. So it's something that is very, very, very important. Paul says, I thank my God I speak in tongues that you all. That's no figure of speech. No, he really meant it. What the only reason that was a figure of speech is only to show that he's saying that he did it frequently. Yeah, if you want to start analyzing the Paul do statistics, that's your business. But what he's saying is that he did it frequently. And the way he did it frequently, Paul could say, with the kind of people I have around this Christian faith, I don't think they had a lot of people who were that committed to do it as much as I used to do it. That's what Paul was saying. Right? So, if you look through Acts 19, look at Acts 19. Acts 19, 1. I mean, Acts 19, 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, while Apollos was in Corinth, give me 1 second, yeah. Look at Acts 19. Yeah, I'm going to Acts 19, but I already just double check something, yeah. Okay, let's just start with Acts 19:40. I wanted to be sure that the name I mentioned was correct when I was talking about the one who Aquila and Priscilla expanded onto. If I was correct about that, I'll correct that later on. Anyways, go to Acts 19. Go to Acts 19. That's what I was just double checking. Yeah. So look at Acts 19, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Listen carefully. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, the truth is that if they believed the gospel, what should they have received? They should have received the Holy Ghost. But listen to the choice of words that I use here. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Are we together? Now, mind you, remember, he's talking about certain disciples. That means there was something they believed. And look at all the things in verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then? No, so look at verse 3. The next statement, right there, right, verse 2. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. So how else can you say the Holy Ghost came on them? The Holy Ghost fell on them. The Holy Ghost descended as a dove. And the Holy Ghost was poured out. Right? Are we together? Which other one again is there? And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So it means one of the ways you can allow, or one of these you can get people to speak in tongues. Because look at what it says there, verse 6. Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. What happened? And they spake in tongues, and they prophesied. So what was happening in Acts 19? Tongues, interpretation. Altogether, tongues, interpretation. So you can lay hands on someone and the person begins to speak in tongues. You can lay hands on someone and somebody who used to speak in tongues will now start prophesying or interpreting his tongues. Altogether. Now, mind you, it is not the laying on of hands that puts the Holy Ghost on them. No. Yeah, I'm going to look at that on Sunday, or probably in the coming days. There's something called to lay hold on that which already exists, which is the word lambano. Yeah, so what happened? Paul will lay hands on them. Bible will say the Holy Ghost fell. You can say the Holy Ghost descended on these disciples like a dove. Is that right? Yeah, you can say they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened? They began to speak in tongues and they prophesied. How? By the laying on of hands. So it means when you go out on outreaches and you get people saved and born again, one of the things you can do as well is to lay hands on people, right? And they will receive the Holy Ghost. So what will be receiving the Holy Ghost is not as much to receive a spirit on their inside, but to produce a functionality from the spirit that's on their inside. Altogether, right? So Paul will lay his hands on them, and in laying hands on them, what will happen? They would express, there will be supernatural encounters that will happen right in their very eyes, such that if another person should look at them, the person will know that something has happened on their inside. Let's close in 1 Corinthians 12 this evening. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. So Paul says, now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. Dear saints, I put it to you today, right? Yeah? And so you keep your heart in check regarding matters of the spirit. Don't shun knowledge. Don't stay away from knowledge. Ensure you keep your heart in check. 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 Because, you see, the things of the Spirit for the believer is an advantage for the believer. Yeah? It's our advantage. Yeah? We can know ahead. Yes? We can see ahead. Yeah? All others as well can see things about our lives and give us direction and clarity. Yeah? We can know ahead. We can see ahead. We can do things and act ahead to avert certain things. Yeah, that's the advantage we have by the Spirit of God, right? So it's very, very important for you not to joke with matters about the things of the Spirit. Yeah, so you can actually get yourself in a place to receive from other believers and also to produce and give as well to other believers. Well, we said on Sunday, like we did last Sunday, we had a practical session. Yeah, remember, for those of you who were in church, we had a practical session, very practical. Right, we saw 2-3 people combine, you know, words of knowledge together to find one person. Right, we saw 2-3 people give one person a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. We're going to do much more than that on Sunday. Right, we're going to do that on Sunday as well, and we'll take it a step further over the coming weeks. Every service on this spiritual gift, as much as possible, we'll try to, stay with, you know, preaching, doing the practical of God's word. So it's very, very important. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been instructed by that. That's me offline. I hope you're instructed by that. And sure, you come on Sunday waiting.